All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for April 2nd, 2018. What's going on? How
are ya?
Welcome to April, everybody. Oh, you didn't think you'd make it, did you? Oh, the goddamn snow just kept falling out of the fucking sky, and all these fucking liberal cunts are talking about global warming. Oh, yeah? I'll fucking cool you off with my fucking toes, you cunt. Global warming? I love when people who fucking, when it snows in the winter, people just go, global warming? I don't know. Bill, don't try to be a scientist, okay? You've tried to be a lot of things on this podcast and failed miserably. Why would you pick such a smart vocation to start off with? Well, you know, because I'm an arrogant ass. Did I sleep well last night? You know? I got my big birthday coming up, my 50th birthday. So my deal was there's a certain weight I wanted to get down to. And one of those jean companies, you know, that advertise on my podcast, I can't remember the fucking name of them. It's one of those people. You know, we were two broke college kids, so we started a fucking jean factory. It's like, well, how the fuck did you do that? I thought you were broke. You know, you're trying to be all down to earth. The next thing you know, you got a fucking company. What are you telling me? You just sewed them yourself? Yeah, we'll make you a pair of pants. That'll be about, I don't know. Well, we got to learn how to sew first. because we're broke, sir. We can't afford any sewing machines and people that know how to operate them. Okay. Apology accepted. I'm sorry, too, for yelling. But, you know, if you want jeans from us, it's just going to take a moment. So stand up on this thing so I can measure your inseam. So anyways, they sent me a pair of jeans that were 32-32 when I had I was 34-32. And now I'm 33-32. So my goal is to get back to that's the size that I had in high school / when I started doing comedy. So I'll see if I can, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that. Cause you know, this is one of those things where like, if you're your high school weight when you're my age, but you never really went up, I don't think you look that bad. But like, if you get down to your high school weight and you were actually like an adult male's weight, you kind of look like you're dying. but we'll see. I am back on my little health kick here. I told you last Monday, you know, I did the goddamn comedy jam and, I had a shot of Jameson before the show, you know, sort of a tradition, you know, drink a little shot of fucking courage. And then after the show, I went out, I was just going to have one beer and just going to go home, but I showed up and somebody already bought me another Jameson. So I had that and then I had a beer, but you know, the shot and the beer was stretched way out between the first, like the whole show went by like 3 hours. And I had a couple of waters after the first shot. So it was really just the shot of Jameson and the beer. And the next day I woke up and, aside from the fact that I stayed out till 1 a.m, my lovely daughter gets up at like, 6:30. I just woke up and I wasn't worth shit. until like fucking 2 p.m. And I was just like, I can't do this. I just can't fucking do this. So I didn't drink Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then Friday, I performed at arguably my favorite theater in the country. The Brady Theater in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And that fucking place and the people that show up there and the way the laughs sound in that room and the sound and the look of that fucking place, it's unreal. And the amount of people, too, who've never been there, when I told them I was going to Tulsa, Oklahoma, they were like, Tulsa? Jesus. You know, thinking that it was going to be like tumbleweeds and stuff. It's a really fucking hipstery place. Like, the food scene alone is crazy. And, you know, when the food is really good, then you're going to have the record store, which I like the record store. I don't necessarily like, you know, the douches that go in there. You know, I'm a douche too, but like, I was actually riffing about that on stage where people were like, dude, it sounds so much better. It's like, I can't hear the difference. I can't hear the difference. No, the CD was a lie, man. Everything got compressed and they just get into the whole fucking sound thing. And I just like records because they reminded me when I was a kid, you know, and you feel like you kind of got more for your money. Well, you open it up and there was all these pictures on the inside sleeve and all of that shit. I don't know. As opposed to now, you just download it off like iTunes and it's just floating in the air, man. So just getting off stage that night, I was like, I'm not going to drink. And I just felt like, you know, the habit of me doing that, being like, come on, man, just have fucking one. Because I was flying after the show. It was like that show in Tulsa was every fucking reason why I ever wanted to be a comedian. It was so much fucking fun. I was barely doing my act. I forget what I did. Oh, I know why. I flew to Dallas, connected there, and then went up to Tulsa. And the second I got on the plane in Tulsa, like there was just like 3 or 4 really big people, you know? Not just fat, but just big ass fucking people. So I was just riffing on that. One of them, 2 people were so big and fat, they had to use wheelchairs. So I was just riffing on the fact, you know, are you really helping them out if you're wheeling them around like a fucking toddler? And, you know, it's like, I'm not trying to like bring back segregation here, but I really think wheelchairs should just be for people who can't fucking, whose legs don't work. It's like your legs work, you asshole. Lay off the cookies. I actually said, you ever see a guy so fat that even if he has a full head of hair, you can still see most of his scalp? You know, because even then, it's just even his head is getting like fat. It's like stretching out. It was unbelievable. This guy sat in the chair in front of me, and the fucking chair was like coming down. And it was one of those things, like an action movie. Like, is this going to fucking stop, or am I going to get crushed to death? And it stopped about 2 inches from the bridge of my nose. And I think I audibly exhaled, like, you know, because it was like, oh. I mean, watching that guy trying to get up would be like my daughter. She still can't do like a sit-up. You know what I mean? She just doesn't have the strength. It's hilarious. She gets like 3 inches up and she's making this face and she's staring at you. And then I just start laughing and then she laughs, which, you know, makes her fall back down again. So anyways, she's saying da-da now all the time. She was in the crib this morning. I'm always the one that goes out and I get her and then, you know, pick her up. And I figured out because she gives the best hugs, but she's also, you know, a toddler now. So she just wants to look at everything. So she only does it for 0.5 seconds. So the way to trick her into giving you a nice minute long hug is you got to sing to her. And she loves the Itsy Bitsy Spider right now. Like that's her fucking jam. Right. So I just come out there and she's like, hi, 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 you know, showing off the word that she knows how to say. And then I just pick her up. And she gives me the quick hug and then immediately is pointing over to the changing table because, you know, she wants to get that over with so she could then go in and watch her little cartoons, you know, and drink her bottle of milk, right? But I got it done now. I just pick her up and I just go, oh, the itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Dow came to raid and washed the spider out. And by then, she's already laid her head. I sing it sweeter than that. I kind of pushed through with you guys. Didn't want to creep you out. But she fucking puts her head down on my shoulder and just sits there and is content. I can sing the song like six times in a row and she'll just lay there. And then when I get sick of that song, I just sing the ABCs. And then she does this thing. If you squeeze her and you go, give me a hug, her two little fat hands, she grabs two handfuls of your shirt. That's fucking adorable. I'm starting to realize why dads cry at their daughter's wedding. You know, I used to think it was some weird shit. Like they were just like thinking like, this guy's good. Even if they haven't already banged, he's going to bang her now tonight. You know, oh God, you fucking asshole. And I got to pretend like I like him. You know, thinking like that shit. It isn't. They're thinking about the itsy bit. Like I used to sing this kid, the itsy bitsy spider, you know. Where did the fucking decades go? So, anyways, going back to my, you know, the boozing and shit. Like, I don't know. So then, you know, that's already going to be the greatest moments of my life are going to be those. And I just don't want to be all banged up and extra tired and, God forbid, grumpy. So, I don't know. So then San Antonio, I did two shows. Fucking amazing crowds down there. And once again, I just carried over whatever happened in Tulsa. I've learned how to do that, though. As far as like what happens as a, you know, when you go out and one night you're just in the zone and you're not even doing your act. The next night you come on stage, you're like hoping that you're going to be in the zone again. The night before, you weren't hoping that you were going to be in the zone. It just happened. So then you're going out there. Now you're hoping it's going to be like last night. So now you're walking out on stage and you're thinking about last night. So you're not like mentally there. Not to get all trippy. So what I do is I try to let go of the last night, but do the same fucking thing that I did in that I'll just talk about something that I just fucking saw. Except this time it's in San Antonio. And I just came out and I was bitching about the fact that I didn't realize that the final fucking four was in San Antonio. I kind of figured it out when it was $500 a night at a goddamn Red Roof Inn up by the fucking airport. And then it was just like, there's going to be a real problem with transportation. I had to hire this company, you know, to make sure they could pick me up at the airport, get Dean, you know, it was out there with Del Rey. Ooh, Del Rey fucking murdered so hard in Tulsa. He had a sustained round of applause. Like he had to wait before he introduced me. That's how fucking hard this guy's killing. So you got to go see Dean when he's out on the road, actually watch him do like a full set. I know he has an album coming out too, on vinyl, I believe, speaking of records. So, anyways, I went out and just did the same thing. And on both shows, I just, you know, fucked around and riffed about some shit. And it just got me into this place. And then it was fun because I was, you know, both nights I was teasing people about having AR-15s and telling them how they should go about talking to people on the left about why you have an AR-15. And it just was a fucking great night. Both nights. So what is my point? So my point is I was watching the Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling, this fucking incredible documentary that Judd Apatow did. And it is such the stand-up comedian experience. I literally had to take breaks from it. I had to shut it off or hit pause. I'd be watching the thing, right? And I would just, something he would write down, because Gary, I guess, kept all these diaries and stuff. And Judd just would just like film like just a line or two that he wrote. And it would either be something that I thought or something that I never realized. And it's just like, yeah, that's it. Or just an experience that I had. And obviously all my experiences are on a way less. Like whatever experience he had at the Tonight Show or hosting the Emmys, I had playing, you know, Uncle Fuckies and, you know... Swampscott, Massachusetts. But I just kept fighting. I would be watching the show. It was hilarious. I'd be watching the show, and Nia would be like in the other room. And then she'd just hear me in the other room just going like, fuck. And just watching how the way this thing is put together, I'm not going to ruin it for you, but just seeing how like one like major event when you're a kid with your developing mind, be it positive or negative, how it just shapes and informs the rest of your life. And the way that it is done is so fucking masterful in this documentary. And I just can't say enough things about it. So I was sitting there after having watched it, or actually I'd watched up to the first half hour of part two. I mean, it's like 4.5 hours long. And it's fucking amazing. And I was actually out on the road going, fuck, I wish I could watch the rest of that right now, you know? It's just, you know, it's hard to find 4.5 hours when you got a 14-month-old to just sit down in a row. So I was out there and I was just thinking about, you know, I was mad at myself that I went out after Tulsa and I had a drink. I had one drink and then somebody sent one over to me. And of course, I'm going to drink that because I didn't want to be rude. And, you know, I'm a bit of a booze hound. And I kind of just was thinking to myself, like, I told myself I wasn't going to drink until fucking June. And I already fucked up on the road. Not even because I wanted to, just out of like, you know, I'm flying high. I'm fucking wide awake. I don't want the night to end. You know, I'm too awake to fucking go to sleep. I got an 8 a.m. flight. Let me just fucking have one. And then next thing you know, I'm fucking staying out till like 1 in the goddamn morning. I got to get up at 6 for the flight. Just, what am I doing? I should be out here getting sleep for when I come back so I can be a better dad. This is stupid. So because I watched, you know, at that point, the first half of the Zen Diaries thing, I actually had a notebook because I was writing out some of the drum parts for these songs I got to sing with Del Rey, play on Tuesday night out here at the Avalon. And I was just like, why don't I just write down, you know, these goals? Because sometimes if you just fucking think them, they're not real. And then if you say them or write them down, anyways, how my brain works, it becomes real. So I just kind of wrote it down, the shit that I wanted to do, you know, the shape I wanted to be in. And I just wrote down that I was just, for the month of April, I'm just like, I'm not smoking any fucking cigars. I'm not drinking any booze. You know, not watching any fucking porn. You know, fucking stupid online porn, lonely shit you do on the road. And that porno, I swear to God, it's going to come out like how bad that is for you, your brain. You know what I mean? Because I find myself now when I watch porno laughing like I'm watching a sitcom. There's always something that just strikes me as fucking funny. It's just like, I shouldn't be laughing. Well, this is just weird, right? And then you also think like, you know, you go back, I don't know how many fucking years. Like if you went back like 100 years and you showed somebody like a laptop and be like, you know, you realize you can watch this and you just put it on. I swear to God, they would burn you at the stake like you were a fucking witch. Like how fucked up it would be that a human being could sit down anytime they wanted and just watch endless hours of that shit. I bet I did some brain damage. Something. I really feel like I'm destroying my soul by watching that shit on some level. So I was like, gonna not do that. I'm gonna fucking continue to work out. All of these just sort of these I don't know, health goals. And then I gotta work on my anger issues because my daughter doesn't realize I have them yet, and it's just inevitable she's going to. I've been doing this joke on my act out like a couple of times she's seen me start to like she honestly hasn't even met me yet as far as like who I really am. She's met the side of me that I'm proud of, but all the shit that I'm ashamed of, she hasn't really met yet. She's seen a couple of glimpses, but I'm always able to joke my way out of it. Like, oh, daddy always threw the laptop through the window. And she's laughing because she doesn't know what those words mean. Or that behavior is fucked up, right? So I don't know. That's just shit I have to work on. So, I don't know. I don't think I would have written that down and it would have become real had I not watched that, Zen Diaries of Gary Shanley. I'm telling you, man, you gotta fucking see that thing. And speaking of which, HBO's killing it this month because they have like, they got one on a documentary on like Andre the Giant, Martin Luther King, Elvis. I mean, and I think it comes out every Wednesday. So if you're not watching the NHL rivalry fucking Wednesday, or even if you are, just tape some of these things because, you know, HBO, they always do everything fucking top shelf. It's going to be amazing. So anyways, I have some things to, have I made you guys laugh once yet? I've just been fucking being an idiot here talking about this shit, but it's also, I just feel like I'm doing this for me. All right. I got a couple of announcements here. One, I'm transitioning. No kidding. October 6, 2018, I'm going to be in Bridgeport, Connecticut. All right, at Webster Bank Arena. General public on sale will be Friday, April 6th at noon. April 6th when I'm going to be in Pittsburgh for two shows. What an idiot. People already know I'm going to be there. I'm literally hyping other shows. I'm trying to hype this new one. October 6th, 2018, Bridgeport, Connecticut. Webster Bank Arena. General public on sale will be Friday, April 6th at noon. The pre-sale starts today. Today. All right? The code is Billy Baldwin. You get it? Billy Baldwin. All capital letters. No spaces. B-I-L-L-Y. B-A-L-D. For the win, W-I-N. Anyways, oh, you know what's fucking hilarious? When I did the Brady Theater in Tulsa, I pull up, and there's this one dude standing outside, you know, the stage door, all right? And I got this thing. I hate meeting people before the show. After the show, I don't give a fuck. But before the show, I can't. It's weird to me. It's like I haven't done my fucking thing that I do. So I'm thinking about doing that. You know, I don't know. I no problem after. Before, it just weirds me out. So I go to him. This guy goes, he's like, "Hey, Bill, big fan. I'm getting married. I'm like, all right." So I go to sign his fucking shit. And all of a sudden, I feel like this sticky thing. Like I had like syrup in my hand or something. I handed back the pen and I looked down and my fucking hand is just cut. Like the pen exploded. My whole fuck. I look like, I don't know what I look like. So I walk in and it's really like thick, like black or blue ink. I went in the bathroom and I'm like trying to scrub the skin off my fucking hand. And, you know, Del Rey's laughing at me and shit. Look at this shit. You know, my hands are so pasty. So I got this, it's like my hands are in blackface, right? So I'm fucking scrubbing this shit off and I was able to get most of it off, but there's still like, you know, you can see the stain of it. I wish I talked about that when I went out on stage. But I didn't. So I went out and I did the show. And as I go to walk off the stage, who comes walking down to the front of the stage? "Hey, Bill, blah, 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 blah. I already met you. I already signed your shit. And I already got the ink all over my hand." But he's getting married. So I go in, "Hey, man, thank you." I go, you know, "Good luck with your marriage and everything." So then I fucking walk out, right? Just talking to Dean. I'm like, "Dude, how fucking unbelievable is that theater?" He's like, "Oh, you know, the sound is unbelievable. Crowd, blah, blah, blah. You know, Dean, that show is fire," right? So we go outside and we go to leave the place. There's like 10 or 15 people there, right? So I'm fucking, "Hey, guys, thanks for coming out, talking to people, you know, signing shit or whatever." And this fucking guy comes up again. And he wants me to sign more shit. I'm thinking in my head, it's just like, look at this guy coming back for fucking seconds. I mean, what, you know, there's other people here. We already did this and I shook your hand. So I go to sign something fucking else that he has and I feel this sticky thing. He gave me the same fucking pen again and I was so stupid that I went and I grabbed the thing. And I just looked at you fucking asshole. I go, "You got an exploded pen here." And then he just starts laughing. And now I got this shit on my fucking hand. My hand's all the exact same, almost in the exact same fingers and all that, obviously. I'm not ambidextrous switching my hands. And I'm just like, and Dean's fucking, and then Dean signed something for him. So we both walk back into the fucking car. We got ink all over our hands. And the driver's laughing his ass off at us because he saw me when I went in going, that fucking asshole had an exploded pen. So as this is the thing, as I go to get in the car, the same dude who I already signed his shit, got ink on my hand, shook his hand after the fucking show, you know, as I'm walking off stage, shook his hand, signed more shit, got more fucking exploded ink on my hand. He then goes, hey, Bill, do you got a PO address that I can send these things to? These pictures I took on his cell phone. And I just go, no, you fucking asshole. I got ink all over my hand again. And he just starts laughing. And then I felt bad. I go, good luck with your marriage. And we get in the car as we're driving away. And I just was just riffed about the poor woman that is going to marry that fucking guy. You know, because it was something about him. You couldn't get mad at him. But I really think that that exploding pen was a fucking omen. You know, that he was just going to be like, I don't know. Jesus Christ. So, anyways, let me read a little bit of advertising, then I'll tell you about San Antonio. I'm going down there with the Final Four experience going on. Where the hell is it? What do we got here? What do we got this week? Oh, Indochino. Talk about how a made-to-measure suit fits compared to a generic off-the-rack suit. Well, unless you're like a generic off-the-rack size, I imagine your ankles are going to be showing and your balls are going to be snugged. Or, you know, you're going to be looking like you have your big brother's pants on if you're a little shorty. I mean, obviously, do I really need to explain to people that if they actually take your fucking measurements? I mean, if they take your measurements, it's going to fit the way it's supposed to fit, you know, and all of a sudden women are going to be looking at you like, oh, who's that guy? Looking all fucking sharp in his suit. As opposed to trying to hit the lottery and being like, you know, did the fucking person in El Salvador that sewed this together, you know, was he the same size as me? Guys love the wide selection of high quality fabrics and the option to personalize all the details, including your lapel lining and monogram. That's kind of cool that you can pick out your own lapel and the lining, right? So later on that night, you know, when you're on your date and you take your jacket off and you fucking you put it around the back of the chair, you get a little flash there. Monogram, you're taking yourself seriously. All of a sudden, the woman thinks you're fucking, you're running something. Back when guys used to go by, you know, by the initials. This is, I'm H.G. Wells, see? Here's how it works. Visit a showroom or shop online at Indochino.com. Pick your fabric, choose your customizations, submit your measurements, wait for your custom suit to arrive in just a few weeks. Ah, fuck. I need a suit for the rough and rowdy thing. I should have ordered one through them. Anyways, this week, my listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $379 at Indochino.com when entering Burr at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit, plus shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Burr, for any premium suit for just $379 and free shipping. Incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could. Well, I'm looking for unique suits to wear at these rough and rowdy things. All right, so maybe I'll go through these guys. You know, provided everything, I just think everything's going to go well at this. Provided the people at Barstool want me to come back for the next one, because I'm already ready to come back for the fucking next one, and I haven't even been to this one yet. And it's on April 13th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Okay, it's going to be on pay per view. I believe it's like $16. It's the biggest no brainer ever. Get your friends over, sit down, and just watch regular people talk shit and go in the ring and just fucking wail on each other. It's the greatest fucking idea. I don't know. Every once in a while, I know I keep saying this, but you know, I'm so psyched. I'm gonna have ringside seats. I'll be sitting ringside for the whole fucking thing. That'll be another added thing because I don't know how to commentate. I'm not Joe Rogan. You know, Joe Rogan is borderline a fucking a Mossad agent. With his abilities and his understanding of combat. Me, on the other hand, you're just going to sound like I'm just some loud shithead sitting next to you on your couch, okay? That's what I'm going to do. All right, MVMT, movement. Here's my problem with sunglasses. I didn't know I had a problem with sunglasses. Why are you putting words in my mouth? I got all these cheap pairs that look terrible. No, I don't. I have nice pairs. But every time I buy $200 pair, I feel like I get ripped off. That's not what I feel. Here's my problem with sunglasses. Okay, if you buy a fucking cheap pair, they don't do anything. You're still squinting behind them. Now your face is all mushed up, wearing sunglasses. You look like a fucking asshole, and they're digging into the right above your ear on your scalp. But then if you buy a nice expensive pair, then you got to sit there going like, oh my God, what if I lose it? What if I sit on them? And inevitably that fucking happens. Okay, movement, that's what I feel about fucking sunglasses. How dare you put words in my mouth? And I don't feel like I got ripped off if I paid $200. I feel like a fucking asshole when I lose them. All right, well, our friends at Movement, yeah, the watch guys, they kind of felt the same way. Oh, I didn't know they agreed with me. So they thought, screw it. I think they thought, fuck it. How about we make quality, trendy glasses at a fair price? These things aren't plastic. They acetate? You can get them polarized? Is that a word? Acetate? Acetate? I got to add that word. It's a goal of mine today to throw that word in with my wife. See, what the fuck does that mean? Dude, you ever look up a fucking word on Wikipedia? What is that writing when you're trying to figure out how to spell it? It looks like it's in Russian. It's a salt formed by a combination of acetic acid with an alkaline, earthy, metallic base. Fuck this. I don't need to know what it means. I just know how to say it. Nobody knows what this fucking word means. You just say it. And people are like, wow, that guy's smart. Look at his custom lining on his suit. All right, here we go. You ready, everybody? It's this thing, okay? If you're a supporter of this podcast, you have to work this word into your day with somebody who you know very well, who's going to know that you have no idea what this fucking word means. And your goal is to try and fucking play it off like you've always had this in your arsenal. Like this was part of your fucking pitching rotation. Here we go. Come on, say it.
Acetate.
You fucking
acetate.
There you go. Kind of sounds like asshole, doesn't it? You fucking acetate. Acetate.
Acetate.
Dude, how creepy is this? This is like it's the end of the world and that's like some acetate warning in the future. You know, everybody get acetate the fuck out of here. You can't go down where it's been blocked off. I'm telling you right now, the monster's coming out of here.
Acetate.
I think we just lost Mike. All right. Sorry about that. That was my version of like Alien. All you need in the background with that acetate is that auga, auga. What's going on here? Acetate effects. Well, I like learning stuff when they have music that makes you not think.
Look, listen to this. Listen to this shit.
Hi, Stampers.
Welcome to...
That has got to be the worst fucking fade down ever of anything. Listen to this. Oh, wow, I'm going to learn something.
Hi, Stampers. Welcome to my...
Jesus Christ. How about a nice little fade down? You go, hey, Stampers, and today I'm going to teach you about how acetate. In the future someday when you're dumb enough to buy a fucking robot, one day when it has a glitch and you come walking in there and it has an even weirder robot expression on its face and you're like, hey, what's up there, fucking R2-D2? And it's just looking at you going, acetate. 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 Why are you saying that, man? Like slowly walking towards you. Acetate. Anyways, what the fuck was I talking about? So sunglasses. They have lots of styles to choose from. Wait, these things aren't plastic. They acetate. 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 You can get them polarized and they start at just $70. They are seriously my go-to shades. I don't even have a fucking pair yet. Send them to me. I want these things. Hey, Bill, where'd you get those sunglasses? I'm just going to stare at them like the fucking Terminator. Acetate. Acetate. They are high-quality premium acetate. 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 Frames. No cheap plastic here. You got to see these. They have lots of styles to choose from. Classic, trendy, round, aviator, mirrored, polarized. I love guns. Fuck it. That's polarized. For him and for her, you're sure to find the perfect pair. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/burr. You know about Movement for how they've revolutionized the watch industry. They've already done that. This is like a fighter that's moving up in weight class. They already got that belt. Now they're going to go for the next one. Now's the time to check out their sunglasses. Go to movement.com/burr. That's MV as in Victor, MT as in toodaloo.com/burr. Join the movement. Acetate. Acetate. MeUndies, everybody. Oh, here we go. Ba-doot, doot, doot, MeUndies, MeUndies. Nice soft shit against your taint. Ba-doot, doot, doot, MeUndies, MeUndies. They don't fucking acid taint. Why would you want that shit up against your skin, especially down there? There is no win. Wash it off with your lady's face. Sorry. You've heard me talk about MeUndies, and you know that I'm a big believer. And their product, they're the perfect balance of comfort and fit. Every month they have new and exciting prints and they arrive at your door in a fun bag. Yeah, they sent me another sack of underwear. One of them were like referee shorts. I don't know how I felt about those. It's like, what am I going to fucking be ratting people out now, throwing flags and stuff? MeUndies uses lensing, micromodal. What the fuck is lensing? Lensing in their underwear. It's sustainably sourced. What does that mean? They can grow more? Are they planting lensing micromodal trees? Naturally soft fiber that starts with beechwood trees and ends with the most amazing fabric you've ever experienced. How the fuck you cut down a tree and make comfortable underwear? It's just goes to show you the level of genius. Although if you had to, like, you know, put your undercarriage up against a tree, I think a beechwood tree would probably be the nicer one, you know? It's got this smooth bark, right? The results have been downright dreamy. MeUndies' adventurous prints and designs are all limited edition, and new patterns are released every few weeks on a rolling basis. 100% satisfaction guarantee. MeUndies guarantees you will love their undies or your money back. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners, for any part-time, first-time purchasers. When you purchase any MeUndies, you get 20% off and free shipping. MeUndies is so sure you'll love their underwear, they offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love your first pair, you'll get a full refund. This is a no-brainer. Get 20% off a pair of the most comfortable underwear you will ever put on. Do you hear somebody screaming? Oh, she's got the cartoons on. I saw some weird lady came in the fucking room, in the house, I mean. To get 20% off your first pair, free shipping, 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/burr. That's MeUndies.com/burr. Hang on a second. I got to turn that down a little bit. A little bit. Hey, ladies. Could you guys just turn that down just a little bit? I'm trying to acetate my podcast. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to acetate this thing here to get it done. All right.
I don't know what that means.
What's that?
I don't know what that word means.
You don't know what acetate means?
No. I don't
hear it. I don't know if you could hear that. I used acetate like 2 or 3 times, and she just looks at me. She goes, "I don't know what that word means, and I don't care to." So there you go. That's right. You know, that's a good one to use on your lady. She'll think that you're fucking moving on. You know. Is he getting smart? Acetate. Get the fuck off me. See, right there. That's what I want to work on. My temper. I was just literally trying to bring the cord around my foot, and I couldn't do it because I'm not flexible enough. And I just said, get the fuck off me, like it was a person. There's something wrong about that. All right, stamps.com. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com makes it easy. They'll send you a digital scale, automatically calculates exact postage. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. No need to lease an expensive postage meter, and there are no long-term commitments. I use Stamps.com because... I don't know why I use it, because you buy advertising on this thing. And I ended up using it, and it turned out to be easy. But I did it for the money, man, and then it turned out to be a great thing, and I don't have to go to the post office when I send out my fucking posters. All right. Anyways, and right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Burr. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. All right. What else did I want to talk about? Another thing with that Gary Shandling thing. That documentary really affected me was, one of the things that happens to a lot of comedians is whatever the fuck happened to us that made us become comedians, you just start chasing, selling out clubs and getting known and becoming famous and all that and thinking that that's going to fucking, get rid of your demons. And it doesn't. And then you put off the major part of your life, which is finding love and starting a family and all of that shit. And, the other day I was talking to somebody and they were in their early 30s and I brought up the Gary Shandling documentary and the person said, "Who's that?" Right. And then I also mentioned somehow I brought up Robin Williams and I mentioned that he had, committed suicide a few years and she didn't even realize he was dead. And she was just like, "Mrs. Doubtfire?" And I was like, and in my head, I'm just going, these people are fucking legends. And it's just like, every generation has their people. You know what I mean? So it's like, it was like so fucking profound where it's like you're chasing all of that fucking shit. And, once you're past a certain age, like no one's going to give a shit anymore anyways. So it's like you're trying to, I don't know. It's not like a tangible thing that you can depend on. And I had this big fear when I was going through comedy that I was like, oh my, am I going to be the guy that doesn't get married and never has kids? Because I've seen the other side of that. It's like, I don't want to end up being that cliche and then just being that fucking, that older fucking comic, and then you got your sport coat on to hide your middle and you're talking at this point, you're hitting on women that don't know who your bands are and don't know all your cultural references. They don't even know who these fucking people are. And the level of fucking sadness, how lonely that feeling would be. I used to fucking wake up. I didn't literally wake up, but I would be laying in bed on the road thinking about shit like that. And when I was watching this documentary, I remember, thinking, as I was watching Gary wrestling with his demons, I literally said to Nia at one point, I was like, "Marrying you and having a kid is the smartest fucking thing I ever did. Thank God." I know I did it late, but thank God I fucking did that. Because if I didn't, I'd be 70 years old in some fucking goddamn hotel on the other side of this shit when nobody gave a fuck. And I would just be laying there drinking myself to death going, "Acetate. Acetate." That literally makes me scared just saying that. Acetate. Anyways, so I think what I'm going to do, because I don't think I'm a diary person, but I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of write down in the beginning of the day, I find one day of doing that, it's really vivid and it lives now rather than just being this fucking random thought like, I need to work on this. Maybe just have a fucking goal each day. So my kid... I can kind of kill off this fucking anger demon that exists in my family tree. I would love to see my family tree. It's got to look like, it'd be this weird combination of like, oh, that's really nice, but a little upsetting. You know, like a tree in the beginning of winter. At a certain time of day, you know. You know that certain time of day where trees are beautiful, but they start to look a little ominous? That's probably what it would look like. A tree that's trying. All right, let's... oh, I didn't tell you guys about my fucking journey back from San Antonio. So I had a 6 a.m. flight to Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, I normally I would have flown in the night before, but I got the kid, you know. I can't miss those hours. So I flew in, no problem. Everything was great. The next day, I had an 8 a.m. flight to San Antonio for whatever fucking reason. I mean, it's not that long a flight. We're in the same time zone. How come I couldn't get like the 10 o'clock flight, right? So we check into the hotel. We do the show. Everything's great. And then the next morning, I had a 6 a.m. flight. And I got off stage at 12 and couldn't get to sleep till like 1:30, 2 in the morning. So I was just like, all right, I'll just sleep on the plane. So we get up at like 4:30 in the fucking morning, 4:45, go down there. And my big thing is when I only get like 2 hours sleep, all I'm trying to do is get on the plane. And once I get on the fucking plane, it's like, I'm just going to go to sleep. You know, I forgot my eye mask, and one cunt always has to have their fucking shade up, you know, because they're a morning person and fuck everybody else. You know, no consideration for somebody who just fucking stopped working at, you know, 12:30, right? So we get there and I'm laughing at Dean because we are like so fucking tired. It's like you literally like you're hungover. We're like, dude, all I got to do is get on that plane. And he's like, I know, I'm going to go right to sleep. And then I'm going to land at 7:30 LA time, right? By the time I get to my fucking house, it's going to be 8:30. My daughter just got up a half hour early, and I'm going to get that whole time with her before she does her first nap. Fucking perfect. And all of a sudden, they're like, the flight's now going to fucking leave at 6:15. You know, because they said they had to reset the airplane, which I don't know what the fuck that means. Is that some computer shit? I have no idea. And then 6:15 became 6:45. And I was like, oh God, don't do this. Please don't do this. And then it became 7:45. And then it got fucking canceled. And then because it was the final four, all the fucking planes were sold out. And the next one they could get us on was 7 p.m. And I was like trying to keep my cool, which of course I didn't. And they said, sir, it's okay. We're going to send everybody on the 7 o'clock flight. We're going to send on an excursion today paid by Delta. And I'm like, I don't want to go on an excursion. I want to go to Los Angeles. And she goes, they're going to take you to SeaWorld. It's like, oh yeah. Are they going to buy me a giant fucking lollipop? I don't want to watch an incarcerated killer whale doing fucking jumping through a hula hoop. Okay. I don't want to see that. Can I go there and watch you set that fucking thing free again? I would see that. That would be worth it. You know, watch it jump over a little boy as it goes out of the bay into a fucking, the ocean, like Free Willy. So anyways, so we say fuck Delta, not fuck Delta, literally fuck Delta, but fuck this situation Delta put us in. Cause I know all the airlines, it happens. Okay. The fucking plane's not working right. I understand it. But I'm also frustrated. So I go down to Southwest. All of their shit is filled up. So we're like, what about Dallas? Can you fly us to Dallas, like Love Field, and we'll just fly back? Can't do that. And then we just said, what about Austin? And they go, okay, well, Austin, we have a 10 a.m. flight. At this point, it's like, you know, getting close to 9. We have an 11 and we have a 2:15. So I'm like, all right, put us on the fucking 2:15. And we, you know, it's an hour and a half drive. So Dean goes to get a fucking rental car. And I said, fuck this. Let's just Uber. Then we don't have to deal with picking up the rental car, the shuttle and all that. So we did fucking Ubered. I passed out in the fucking car. I got out of the car. I left my fucking headphones in there. This is my second time I've lost those Bose headphones. I always keep the charger though. If anybody has a set of those silver fucking Bose or the black ones and you need that little charger cord, send me your address and I'll mail it to you. Cause I'm going to have three of them because I just ordered another fucking pair. So anyways, we get out, and we got there so fucking fast because there was no traffic. We actually got on the 11:15. Had to connect through fucking Phoenix. It wasn't that bad. And it all worked out. And because I had written down that shit, you know, that I wanted to, like, maybe talk to somebody about my temper or something like that, I was actually completely aware that I was fucking snapping when I snapped. Like, that's as far as I've ever been able to get to with my temper. You know, the old me, I would just snap and not think about it. Now I'm actually thinking about it as I do it and have no control over it. So it's even more, like, torturous now, because now I'm, like, watching myself. Oh, here you go, Bill, yelling at people that, like, Bill, they're trying to save your life. Do you think they're not flying because they want to go through this giant fucking headache? On some level, they're probably losing money because one of their planes cannot fly. Would you like to get up to a cruising altitude and then plunge back to the fucking earth and never see your family again? Oh, boo-hoo, you have to wait 12 hours to continue living, you selfish, stupid cunt. But I can't hear anything at that point. I'm in the fucking acetate mode. All right, I'm killing that joke. By the way, I am so back into Def Leppard now, it's ridiculous. I downloaded Pyromania and what was it, High and Dry, the one before that. And I'm so into them, I'm actually looking at left-handed flying Vs. You know, like, maybe this is the guitar I'll know how to fucking, I'll actually stick with. Because I was just watching their lineup. But what's that guy's name? Pete Willis is the guy that they had on the High and Dry. And then they had, what's his face, filled in for him. I always forget his fucking name, and it's literally the same name as somebody else famous. It's Phil Collins, not Phil Collins. He came in and filled in for him. But like that album, Pyromania, when that came out, that's just one of those albums that came out during this awesome time in your life. First time you had crushes on fucking chicks in your grade and shit, and that fucking album came out, you know? And I did and this is what I would do. Rather than thinking, what can I say to this chick in my fucking class that I like? This lady, I would just go home instead, and I would listen to Pyromania, fantasizing that I was in the band playing the guitar and singing in front of the school. And even in the fantasy, she would just see me do it, and I would still never talk to her. I'm a fucking mess. And that's what leads you to, it's just like, well, I can't sing and I can't play guitar. I guess I'll go up there and tell shit jokes. I think that's how I became a comedian. All right. Rough and Rowdy, Charlotte, April 13th. Billy's going to wear a fucking silly suit and he's going to fucking make some jokes. You got to watch it. Pay-per-view. All right. F1, Dear Silly Billy, greetings from Monaco. Oh, the sovereign state on the French Riviera. Originally from Portugal. I'm a very big F1 fan since I was 4 years old. Well, it seems like you saw the heyday of it, the second golden age of it with Michael Schumacher. My grandfather says I wouldn't take my eyes off the cars even if a storm took the roof off the house. It's a beautiful and graceful sport despite how loud it can be. I first saw you from Chappelle and then saw you on an interview on the internet from Montreal when my brother showed me, because he's a huge fan of yours. I now am too. Oh, that's great. Thank you. I think this is a very important time in F1. The sport is going to continue to move into the mainstream because the stars in the sports and the storylines of competition are starting to match the popular culture of today. Oh, that's very, what's the word? All I can think of is acetate. That's a very astute analyzation. Is that the word? I don't know. It can be very Shakespearean. I appreciate you talking about the drivers with respect, even if you're not a fan of everything they do. It is incredible how talented these men are, and some women are able to navigate with precision. Ah, that's hilarious. Little chauvinism there. I would like very much to see you at more races and perhaps talking to drivers and crews. Thank you and bless your family. Yo, you and me both. Oh, look who's here. The lovely Nia and my lovely daughter. You know what? She has the cutest outfit on today. She has on these gray sweatpants and pants with this matching hoodie that's short sleeve. It looks like you got a little Belichick. Hi. How are you? How was your breakfast?
You know, listened to you rant and rave and scream and yell on your podcast for damn near 15 years. And, you know, I never say anything. And then I'm having breakfast with our lovely daughter, and we're laughing and we're joking and we're singing songs, and you have the nerve to come in and tell us to keep it down.
Look how big she is.
I know.
No, I'm just, yeah, but this is also putting a roof over our head. What's up, buddy? How you doing? We gonna have fun today? Huh? The itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout.
Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain. And the itsy bitsy spider went up the spout again.
Yay! Yay.
Ah, look at that smile. All right. You want to read some of these with me, Neil?
Sure.
Okay. What do we got here? I absolutely would love to talk to the driver. This guy's saying he's from Portugal. He now lives in Monaco. How much is this guy crushing it?
Oh.
And this, listen to what he says about female drivers, Neil. Listen to this. He says it's incredible how talented these men are, and some women are able to navigate with precision.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for that. Some women are. What? Where was he going with this?
He was just saying that he would love to see me talking to more drivers and being at more races.
Oh, well, I know you would like that.
I would love that. Mm-hmm. And I think if I could navigate with precision down to the pit area, and if you don't trip and fall because you're a woman.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Nia.
Yes?
I'm a chauvinistic pig, and I attract these people. They need a pod. Chauvinists need podcast too. All right, let's talk about 45s. You like records, right? Huh?
Yes, I do.
Hey, sweetie, you want to talk about 45s? Huh? You going to tell us a story? What's so crazy right now is she totally has, obviously has all these thoughts, and she knows what she's saying, but she doesn't understand that we don't talk her gibberish. So she'll just be sitting there making all these hand movements like she's making these profound points, and she's going, I said, is she still making, was she still into that noise, that crap that she was doing?
She's really trying to, what do you say? She's really trying to say words now.
Okay, can you say baby?
Baby.
Can you say baby?
You
huh?
No. Oh, there you go.
Oh, she said it on her. So you like that frog. Everybody do the machine. All right. 45s. A Billy Burhol. Longtime fan of the podcast. Well, thank you. I travel a lot, and your Massachusetts vibes always remind me of home. Recently, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. Recently, it's so funny. They always go for like the thing that's going to hurt them the most. There's all this stuff here, shoes, chairs, and all that goes right for the hot tea. Recently, my fiance and I surrendered our weekend nights to playing card games alongside tasty beers at home. I suggest playing 45s. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
We were just saying how we hate those, like, you go to those parties with other adults and they have game night. It's always fucking Cards Against Humanity and all of that stuff. I don't want to do that. But if we got to bring back cards, right?
But isn't that a game? That's a game night if you play cards.
Yeah, but cards are cool. It's not like playing Mad Libs.
I like Cards Against Humanity, though. I feel like if you get kind of high or a little bit drunk.
Adolf Hitler's taint. Stupid. The jokes in Cards Against Humanity are as bad as when you fly Southwest. I hate to make fun of them because I love that airline. But listening to those people do comedy, I just can't. I get angry at the people encouraging them.
Right.
Dude, this guy was sitting there. We're going down the... you know, we're going down the runway, like we're going on the tarmac or whatever, and he's doing the Darth Vader voice. Mm-hmm. Everybody put on your seatbelts. And people are like, No, it just annoys me that that person doesn't get heckled, because it's just like, if I did a joke like that, mm-hmm. people would be throwing their chair at me.
Right.
And this guy's getting laughs.
Because I feel like maybe people feel obligated because it's the flight crew and you want to be on their good side.
It's exactly
like
what it is. It's the awkward silence, and people are just they, in the silence of the joke bombing, people then laugh because they feel uncomfortable, because this is overall nervousness that what we're about to do could kill us.
Right. Yeah.
So then the level of comedy that they have to, you know what I mean? When you're scared, you'll laugh at anything. You just walk in like, the rain's really coming down, isn't it? It's like, you didn't say anything funny there. Wow, that was close.
Nervous laughter.
Nervous laughter. There we go. I suggest playing 45s, which, no, Nia, are you kidding me?
No, that'd be cool. Yeah.
We got to get a cool stereo, man.
Well, yeah. You know what? We should have our own kind of like night, you know, and music. And
yeah, you and me. Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Sing some songs. Hug and kiss a little bit while the little one's down. Why don't we do that?
Ooh.
Instead of sitting there going, like, what over the...
Out a little bit?
Yeah.
The music's playing? I like it. Hi.
Yeah, instead of sitting there, cars again, hairy asshole. I think Southwest writes those punchlines on those stupid cards. I just don't like that you don't write the punchline and then you get credit for it. I'm sorry, Nia. I'm too far deep into the joke game, man.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Anyways, we could hardly find any rule. Okay, I suggest playing 45s, which I had always played growing up on the North Shore.
North Shore.
In trying to find the rules online, I was surprised to learn that it's pretty endemic to Massachusetts. What rules? What are we talking about?
Oh, we thought he meant 45s as in records. 45s is obviously some kind of game that we don't know about. We thought you were talking about records.
Oh, they don't know about 45s? Like you don't know what acetate means?
I guess so. Yeah, we could hardly find...
Can you do me a favor? Can you say acetate 3 times in a row with a pause and just no life in your voice? Between each one, just pause. Just say acetate 3 times in a row.
Okay. Acetate. Acetate.
Slower.
Acetate.
No, I meant longer pause. That was pretty good. Okay, we'll definitely call you back for the audition.
So, what is he saying? We can hardly find the rules anywhere. In any case, just curious whether you ever played this game growing up or had any other traditions you found to be a Massachusetts thing once you left. Thanks, and hope you can come to Vermont or Montreal sometime soon.
Okay, yes and yes. Oh, I'm so old, I thought you were talking about records.
That's what I thought it was.
Because somebody gave me some records in Tulsa, and then one of them was a 45. So I'm going to have to get the adapter.
Yeah, I don't know.
Watch it. No. you just want to spill that, don't you? All right.
Hi.
45's game.
Yeah. Speaking of game, hold on a second.
Yeah. 45's game. 45, it's a card game.
That's what I figured.
All right. Why is my internet so slow? All right. The Ace of Heart is always the best third bump. So let's play with a regular deck of cards. This isn't like Old Maid. You guys remember Old Maid? You know? And then the classic that I never played, Granny Fucking Water. There's another card game, Nia, that everybody in the Midwest knows about. Euchre. And that game... When Joe Bartnick and Jay Law had talked about Euchre, they were like freaking out. They were going like entire families have stopped talking to each other on Christmas because of that game. That game is evil. That's like a Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Detroit, that type of area. I think people play Euchre. The Ace of Hearts is always the third best trump. Yeah, this is good. This is good Cleve fun here. The deal, robbing the trump. Object of the game, the goal is to accumulate the most chips by winning tricks. How to keep score, irregularities.
Yeah, if you're going to do this, this is a game night, Bill. So I don't know why you're talking about you're so against game night. This is what...
I don't like the modern games. I'll play cards. My grandmother was an amazing... And my aunt...
Not against humanity.
You ever play Flinch?
No.
Flinch is another one. Maybe we should get all these card games.
Have you ever played spades? That's what black people play.
Oh, look at me. Do you ever play hearts? That's what white people play.
No.
All right. Well, we got to get some cards, man. We got to get some cards.
Should we explore each other's like heritage through card games?
Yeah, you teach me spades. I actually
don't know how to play spades. I've maybe played it.
I knew black people played dominoes.
Well, No, we're not talking about dominoes. We're talking about a card game.
I know we're not talking about dominoes. Why couldn't you just give me that, dominoes, that I actually knew something? That was like the Chappelle Show sketch. I know black people.
Knows what dominoes is. Come on.
Oh, I just said, okay, Jesus. Okay, sorry. She's so protective. She's so protective of her culture. You know that, Nia?
Look at this little.
Oh, you're kissing the baby. Nia, why are you so protective?
Huh?
I just want to start an argument with you.
No.
Why are you so protective of your culture? Why won't you let me in? You've never taught me how to do...
Oh, I've let you in. You
know, I was going to say, you never taught me how to do the... do you know Nia can do the whole Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation dance?
The Miss You Much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. She'll just bust that out of fuck... Oh, sorry. Out of nowhere. And she can really do it. You know what I mean? It's not like me. I could do like the Pee Wee Herman. I think I'm all impressed. Oh, I think I'm all impressive. All right. China's surveillance. Oh, Nia, you know people are going to ask you to fucking Instagram that.
I know. It's not going to happen.
No? Okay, I'm back. Sorry, the batteries just died on this thing. All right. I think I'm well over an hour here at this point. I have to be. I don't really know where I'm at this point. All right. China's surveillance, man. All right. If you want me to just do the rest of this, because it seems like she's getting ready to run around here. So I just don't know if that's going to be annoying to people to hear going, blah, 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 as I'm sitting here talking about all this stuff.
It's not as adorable to them as it is to us.
Yeah. That's one thing you got to remember. Your kid is adorable to you.
And nobody else can.
Everybody thinks the kid's adorable. Then after a while, it's just like, okay. Okay. China's surveillance. Dear Bill Bunker Hill. I love it. I'm a software engineer. Make sure she doesn't shut her hands in the door there.
Come here, Mama.
Down like a ton of bricks.
Okay, we're out of here.
It is amazing that they always fall on their butt.
Okay.
You all right, buddy?
She's okay. We're good to go.
All right, cutie pie. I'll see you in a few minutes.
Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Kiss.
Mwah. Mwah. Oh. All right. I'll see you lovely ladies out there. All right. I'm a software engineer and system integration specialist at a prominent firm in a major city. I won't state my political affiliation because I know you hate that move as much as I do. Good. Let's get into it. I'm terrified that my children will have little to no privacy in their adult lives. Being in tech, I'm becoming aware of the capabilities and advances in surveillance systems. And as an ordinary human being with the internet, I've maintained an understanding that our government under both parties have been constantly expanding their surveillance reach and continue to lie to us about what information is being stored. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And all the major fucking news organizations don't say anything about it. They don't do anything to protect us. They just sit there fucking making money. China isn't very different. It's definitely more aggressive and more intrusive. This is what Snowden was trying to warn us about. We all left that guy twisting on the vine, and everybody was afraid because they wrapped what this guy was doing into trying to beat ISIS. So then it was like, well, I can't say anything because then I don't support the troops, and then I'm going to get the Dixie Chicks fucking treatment. That's all they're fucking doing right now. They're just destroying people individually. Snowden is a fucking hero as far as I'm concerned. Goddamn fucking lunatics. It's like, how much more do they need to know about you? Just sit down at the airport. You go through fucking security. Then it's like, you don't understand in that. Now go through TSA. You got to answer all this shit and get fucking fingerprinted. And now that line's clogged up. So now the next one, people are fucking sticking their goddamn retinas in there. It's unbelievable. All right, drop your pants and spread your butt cheeks. It's going to be the next one to get through the line fucking quicker. And people would do it because it'll be more convenient. All right, the biggest difference is that they have the decency to not try and hide it. Or maybe you think it's better to be lied to. I don't know. Well, I think it's because China can just fucking, you know, as far as I know, on mainland China, the level of rights that you have versus what you have over here. I think over here you have to lie. Because they don't have the right to do what they're doing, probably. I don't know. This article lays out the way in which our government surveillance is going to be able to access everything in a Chinese citizen's life, both at work and at home. In which government? Not our government. One of the most important advancements being made is not just the collection of data, but the sorting or of data and the ability to sift through billions of communications for specific content. This is why the FBI and CIA have had information on terrorist activity, but had no way to access it if through all the bullshit. Yeah, so the thing is, so what people will say was, well, at least as long as I'm not out there trashing, you know, saying I'm a Muslim, I won't have a problem. Back to my kids. Because this is the thing. They're going to use that to then access all this other shit, as they always do. As they always do. Back to my kids. Most government technology eventually makes its ways to the public. When my children are in their adult life, all of their previous years will be stored somewhere to create a case against them based on the person that they were and not who they've become. Jesus Christ, that last statement there might be the most intelligent thing anybody's ever sent in. I will send you guys this link to this story and read it and just be informed and know that you're going to be all right. All right, because I don't want to send all this doomsday shit that's going to make you go into a depression. But you also do need to know. It would be nice if people knew what was going on. And I think, like, this is a time where people, I just feel like everybody wants to start speaking up, like, what are we doing? And not in an anti-USA fucking way. But, you know, at some point, somebody has to kind of step up here. You know, I think we kind of need to look at the finances of how much this fucking non-ending war is costing us. And at some point, we're going to have to pay all of that back, $700 billion a fucking year. I mean, I would really be a sad thing if 3,500 fucking jerk-offs that train on a jungle gym were to bankrupt this great nation. I mean, at some point, we do have to, there has to be a way to discuss that without somebody yelling at you saying you don't support the troops. Just to, you know, because maybe they haven't worked out. Maybe there is a solution. It would be nice as a citizen who's paying ungodly taxes, who would like to see them go to some shit over here, like making public schools good again, you know. Maybe get some people off the streets that need some help. You know, all these Shutter Island people fucking walking around, they used to have facilities that they could go to. You combine that with the fact that they can now go in and buy a bazooka and not have to wait longer than 3 fucking minutes, and all of a sudden you're starting to have some problems. You fucking call me, motherfucker. Don't bring that up. Why did I blame the South for that? You know, that's not true. I should sound like, I got to get a good corporation impression. You're clearly against the United States of America. Wife believes in ghosts. Oh, Jesus. Dear Billy Burger Basket. I love my wife dearly. And on most topics, we are in agreement. But recently, something has come between us. She believes in ghosts, and I do not. Dude, fucking let it go. Who gives a shit? Okay? As long as she's not trying to talk to him and acting like Whoopi Goldberg and saying that they're entering her body. But even then, if she does that, you just dedicate one of your rooms to that and just have her fucking make money off of other dopes that believe what she's doing is real. Anyways, I'm not so bothered by her belief. Sure, it's a bit kooky, but she's free to do it. And so it's not hurting anyone. All right, there you go. The problem is that she's offended that I don't believe in ghosts as well. Oh, gee, look at that. I gave you a lecture and you were already fucking, you were already where I was telling you to go. It's like, okay, you believe in ghosts. Good for you, but I don't. Fine. Oh, gross. Is there anything worse than cold tea? Sorry, I just started coughing. I had to take a little swig there. I stopped believing in ghosts around the same time I stopped believing in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny back when I was a kid. So when a full-grown adult tells me they see spirits, I can't help but wonder if there's something wrong with them mentally. She is afraid to go to the restroom at a certain restaurant in our town because there's a story about it being haunted. She says the last time she went in there, she felt an eerie chill, but it's a drafty bathroom in a 90-year-old building, for Christ's sake. She also has this old photograph she took through a window at an abandoned mental hospital that she claims shows a ghost face. When I look at it, I only saw blurry bullshit. I tried to be nice about it, but I think she felt like I was calling her stupid or crazy when I didn't see it. When I didn't see it too. I didn't want to lie about it. Besides, she would know if I was lying anyways. I don't know how to approach this topic without upsetting her. Do you have any advice for me? Yours truly. This guy left his fucking name. Now, I don't know if this is a reference to somebody in a movie. Let me see. Yes, this has got to be somebody. This has to be a movie joke. Oh, Dr. Peter Venkman. Oh, okay. This is Bill Murray's character in Ghostbusters. Okay, hilarious. All right. I don't know how to approach this topic without upsetting her. Do you have any advice for me? Yours truly, Dr. Peter Venkman. Yeah, don't bring up the topic. Don't bring up the topic. And, you know, I would just be like, look, I get it. You believe in ghosts and I don't. Don't say it like that. Just be like, I respect the fact that you believe in ghosts. And I don't. And if the tables were turned and there was something that I believed in and you didn't, I would respect the fact that you didn't. And rather than, you know, getting upset with you. Okay, you see ghosts. Evidently, you are born with a power that I was not given. So you should feel thankful for that, that you're able to see these things. I am a mere mortal. Oh, don't say that, because then that's passive aggressive. I'm the worst. Something along those lines. And just say, listen, I love everything about you and we get along great. But I just feel like there's this tension about this that you're trying to force me to feel something that I don't feel. And I don't think that that's what you do to somebody you love. And I wouldn't do that to you. Okay, so come on over here. And if there's not a ghost between us, could you give me a hug? Something along those lines. All right, last one here. My sister's friend. Oh, boy. Hey, hi, Bill, you cunt. I'm an 18-year-old from England, and I need some advice. All right, you pasty, crooked teeth douche. Around 2 months ago, one of my sister's childhood friends came to visit her for a weekend. They've been friends since they were 3, and she moved 5 hours away when she was 12, so they barely see each other anymore. They were planning to go out on Saturday with a group of friends, and I was planning on staying home alone. When my sister went to pick up a few of her friends to meet at our house, me and her friends flirted a bit, but nothing major. We exchanged Snapchats, etc. I love how that's flirting now. Long story short, my sister's friend pretended to be ill and came home early so we could hook up. Dude, you are fucking crushing it. Your sister's bringing them home to you. You don't even have to go out. Good for you. The only thing was, my sister was genuinely ill and also came home early, around 30 minutes after her friend, and she caught us in bed together. Well, what the fuck is she doing walking into your bedroom? My sister got insanely angry and stormed out. Now, you should have said, hey, don't hate the player, hit the game. And then just lit a cigarette. Oh, my God. I think this is fucking funny. This is fucking hilarious. Dude, do you realize how hard you're crushing it? You're fucking at home. You're not even trying to get laid. She just has her friends come over for the bullshit. Okay, ladies, you ready to go out? And in that moment, whatever the fuck you did made one of them pretend to be sick and come back and hook up with you. Dude, you're a fucking hero. There's no reason to get... Oh, I don't care how mad your sister gets. I would just keep smiling and just be like, hey, I can't help it, man. The ladies love me. Sweetheart, I wasn't trying to hook up. I was at home. I was innocent. I can't help it if women are attracted to me. I would just go totally fucking arrogant. And the madder she get, I would just keep laughing. And I would never take it seriously. My sister has suffered with depression and anxiety. All right, forget what I just said. I didn't see that part. My sister has suffered with depression. And I'm so excited for you that I didn't even read this next part. She suffered with depression and anxiety for years. So whenever something like this happens, my family almost always sides with her. Oh, that's easy. Then you just divide and conquer with your dad. Just be like, Dad, I can't help it. I inherited your charisma. What do you want from me? I didn't go out with... She came home to me. It fell right in my lap. What was I supposed to do? Dad, what was I supposed to do? You know, and he'll, I don't know, there's no fucking way I get mad at my kid. In the morning, I mean, he's mad because you're making her upset. But he's not mad at what you did. I'm guaranteeing your dad's telling his friends at work. This son of a bitch didn't have to leave the fucking house. They're coming to him. In the morning, she threatened to never talk to me again for what I did. But I said something along the lines of, I feel a connection with her. Or some bullshit like that to calm my sister down. The thing was, I didn't. But her friend did. Oh, no. We started dating. And after around 2 weeks, I realized that I fucking hated this girl. She is genuinely stupid as shit. Yeah, dude, this is all good. This is all good stuff because you're learning lessons, which you're supposed to in life, especially at 18, okay? This whole thing started with a lie, okay? And that you did to protect your sister's feelings. So you just got to come clean. You got to dump the dummy and just tell her, like, listen, I love you so much that I actually started dating somebody that is fucking stupid. All right? I'm sorry. And then she'll get mad that you'll be like, he's calling her friend stupid. Are you saying my friends are stupid? No, I'm saying that friend that is a friend of you is stupid. The other ones seem really smart. And, you know, tell all of them I wouldn't mind if they faked sex and came home and hooked up with me. All right. I realized that I fucking hated this girl. She's generally stupid as shit. My original plan was to pretend I was into her for a few months. And then when I go to university, in a few months, I'd break up with her because of the long distance. Dude, don't do that because you might break her heart. All right? But that's some dumb shit you do when you're 18. That way, I'd save my relationship with my sister and mother and get rid of this stupid bitch. Hey. Don't talk about women. You don't need to talk about them like that, okay? Feel lucky that, you got a better brain than she did. Yeah, don't play with people's feelings like that. All right, because I'm telling you right now that if you're any sort of an actual human being, breaking somebody's heart, the guilt of that never fucking goes away. However, I recently received news that my first choice university turned me down and my second choice was the only one that accepted me. The problem is she lives 15 minutes away from my second choice university and now I don't know what to do. You got to come clean. I can't go through university hitched to a girl I fucking hate, but I can't afford to risk my relationship with my family for obvious reasons. Also, another girl who I think I generally may have a connection with recently broke up with her boyfriend in 2 years, and I'm pretty sure that if I could, we would be dating right now. It also doesn't help that this girl is a 9 out of 10 looking model, and I'm probably a 6.5 out of 10 at best. Thanks for your help, you freckled twat. All right, dude, this is what you got to learn. You're going to learn honesty here. All right. Fucking break up with that woman today. All right. And you have to come clean with everybody in your house. And you have to say, you know, you have to put your foot down that your parents cannot be choosing. Maybe I would have this conversation with your parents. They can't be choosing your sister over you straight across the board because of your sister's depression and anxiety issues. Okay? I don't know how severe they are. All right? If they're chemical, then yeah, that's a major problem. But, you know, if she just needs to fucking, you know, get out of a funk, then I don't know. I don't know where she is on the whole depression spectrum, if that's the proper thing. But, like, you shouldn't have to be suffering like this. Dude, you got to live your own fucking life. All right? Just live your life. Live your life. When you live your life, sometimes people are going to get hurt. All right? Fuck that. Break up with this woman and go ask the other woman out. That's it. That's what the fuck you do. And if anybody in your family has a problem with it, let them vent to you and all that stuff and just say, I'm sorry that I am doing what my heart is telling me to do. All right? I am not trying to hurt anybody in this family. Had I known that hooking up with that girl was going to cause this level of drama, I wouldn't have done it. I regret that I did it. I actually felt so bad that I actually fucking dated her for 2 weeks the whole time, and it was like talking to a fucking chair. Say all this stuff nicely. All right? There's a woman that I like then I want to pursue, and I'm going to do that. And if that's wrong, then God damn it, I don't want to be right. And walk out. Okay? And don't let them hold your sister's fucking problems over your goddamn head. Because that's good. Look what it's already doing. It's causing you to fucking date people you don't want to date. So then she's going to be depressed, and you're going to be living this life of fucking misery because you didn't do what you wanted. Okay? Now, having said that, don't call women bitches. All right? Don't do that. I'm not saying don't call them out on their shit and stand your ground, but don't ever do the name calling thing, all right? Because it not only does it makes the other person not hear what your point is, then they can bring that up for the rest of your fucking relationship, and God knows they're going to do it, all right? That's the fucking podcast. Oh, fuck yourselves. I'll check in on you on Thursday. Bye-bye.